Hello and welcome to Out in the Bay, our weekly show about gay life from San Francisco. I'm Marilyn Pittman. You may think after the landmark Supreme Court ruling in June legalizing gay marriage in all 50 states that we're in a new post-gay rights era. So it may surprise you to hear that anti-gay conversion therapy, where they set you straight, so to speak, is still going on, even in California where it's illegal. In fact, it's against the law in three states, Oregon, California, New Jersey, and the District of Columbia. But it's not enforced. So we're going to find out why. And what exactly are the dangers of trying to force people back into the closet and live a heterosexual life? Or not be transgendered? As you can guess, it comes from the right wing, the zealots who just cannot accept that some people are LGBT and happy about it. My guests are two gay men who've been on the forefront of fighting this oppressive and fear-based practice. Jim Walker is a marriage and family therapist here who helped start the first chapter of GLAAD, the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation. Joe Rodriguez is a Silicon Valley business strategist and an LGBT activist for 33 years. Jim Walker, welcome to Out in the Bay.
Thank you.
And Joe Rodriguez, thank you. Welcome to Out in the Bay.
Thank you, Marilyn.
So let's paint a picture for our audience of what conversion therapy is and where it's some of the problems that are associated with it around the world. What's the suffering about? Why is it bad to try to make somebody heterosexual when they say they're gay? Why is that a bad thing?
Well, just imagine, Marilyn, when you're a 15-year-old kid and you're living in Stockton, California, or Lompoc, and your parents notice that you're gay, or you might be gay, and they're part of a conservative religious community. It could be Christian, could be Jewish, could be Muslim even. And they're worried about their kids. And these kids are trying to just figure out who they are. They're going through adolescence, and their parents call up a therapist, so-called therapist. Sometimes it's someone who actually has a PhD or an MFT, and they put them in, they basically tell the kid, you have to do this. And in California, like other places, kids can't control what happens to them. They have to do what their parents say. And that's why we created this law in 2012, for example, that you don't have to do this anymore. And
so children can say no. Teenagers can say no.
They can say no. But it's, you know, it's in the early days of this law, and there's only a few of them, laws like this around the country, so we're still learning about this.
Jim Walker, what are some of the psychological problems associated with conversion therapy? Why is it bad for kids?
Well, last year, there was a trans teen in Ohio named Leela, and Leela had been forced into conversion therapy by her parents, and she resisted, she didn't want to go, she got depressed, she got suicidal, and she finally did commit suicide last December. She went out to the interstate and she stepped in front of a truck that didn't have time to stop, and she died. And her death still haunts me.
Did you know her? Leela Alcorn, I think, is her full name, right?
Leela Alcorn.
Did you know her? Where was this?
No, I didn't know her. I found out about her in the news. And last Thursday, I think it was in Israel, they were having the gay pride parade. And a man who had, a religiously conservative Jewish man who had stabbed LGBT people in the gay pride parade in Israel and had been imprisoned for stabbing them years ago. He had been released a few weeks before the last gay pride parade, and he again stabbed six people in the gay pride parade, and one young woman died as a result of that. And that kind of violence against LGBT people and questioning people, that's directly linked to people thinking that there can be a cure, because if
well, that's because they think it's a choice. That's the other thing that's going on. It's the ignorance that they think it's a choice.
Mm-hmm.
This is a true thing that people grow up hearing from their families and their churches, that they choose it so they can unchoose it.
That's right.
And there's a huge thing to debunk, a myth to debunk.
Right. And over all the decades that this has been going on, there's been a lot of evidence that people who go through this. They don't change their sexual orientation. Their same-sex attractions might diminish some, but then they come back.
Well, in fact, the Southern Poverty Law Center website, splcenter.org, they list the many places where this is still being practiced in the United States, and they have a map. And basically, they say on the site, people who have undergone conversion therapy have reported increased anxiety, depression, and in some cases, suicidal ideation. And so they continue to, that map includes people in California, as we'll get to. But and so it's against the law, but the laws aren't being enforced. Why aren't the laws being enforced, Joe?
Well, we just have this law in California and a few other states, so it's early days. And one of the challenges, and Jim even knows better than I do as a licensed marriage and family therapist, these professional associations, collegiality is a very important part of their world, and they don't like getting involved in this. They don't like telling therapists what they can and cannot do. Mm-hmm. And so we've been a bit of their moral conscience. We passed this law. Some of those organizations were against us at first. We eventually talked them into it, but we're seeing the same sort of battles going on state by state, saying, this is outrageous. We don't care if it's going to cut into the income of these conversion therapists. These kids have to be protected.
Let's talk about who these conversion therapists are. I know that in some instances they come out of a group called Exodus International, which is they're famous for their conversion therapy nonsense. And they're completely, unable to accept that the tides have changed and that even though, it was, 40, 50 years ago that the APA, the Psychiatric Association, it was in the 50s, wasn't it, where they decided homosexuality wasn't an illness or a disease?
Actually, it was in the early 70s.
70s.
Yeah, yeah. And there was a psychoanalyst years ago named Charles Socarides, who started an organization called NARTH. And that organization has rebranded itself as the Alliance. And that's an international organization of licensed therapists, psychologists, psychiatrists, I think mostly who live in the United States, but others live around the world, and they are promoting the practice, they're teaching the practice in various ways, practices of
conversion therapy.
Conversion therapy.
And what is it?
Right.
It's about money? It must be partly about money.
It's partly money. It's about control of their kids. It's about...
It's a market.
Yeah. And, and part of it is this whole therapy came out of the 70s and 80s where the gay liberation movement was making strides and people said, hey, we got to stop this. We got to protect our kids. The Anita Bryant and the Protect the Children movement,
right,
was all part of this. So they said, hey, we are going to start some 12-step-like programs. We're going to do some other things. And some of these programs, actually, they use shock therapy, aversion therapy.
You mentioned this when we were talking before the show went on, gay conversion camps, that they send these kids to camps.
Right.
What happens at these camps?
Well, there's a number of camps that are outside the U.S., and that's for a reason, because they don't have to abide by the American laws. And they send these kids to these camps where it's sort of like CrossFit meets the Marine Corps. And these kids, they basically try to
make them butch.
Make them butch.
The boys.
And really make them do push-ups and physically exhaust them. And this idea that the more masculine the activities are, the less gay they're going to be.
Going to
which,
burn
of course,
the girl out of them or something.
Yeah, it's just crazy.
Killing
it's crazy.
The feminine.
And actually, there's even camps here. One of the camps that's associated with Anthony Scalia, his son is a Catholic priest, I think has this camp called the Courage Camp. And basically, they try to teach them to play baseball and football, thinking that that's going to butch them up, not knowing that there's thousands, if not millions, of gay people already playing sports. And they could actually join a gay softball league in almost any country, or country in almost any community. So it's sort of crazy.
Sports isn't necessarily straight, right?
No.
You're listening to Out in the Bay. I'm Marilyn Pittman, your host. My guests are Joe Rodriguez, a Silicon Valley business strategist and community organizer here in San Francisco, and Jim Walker, a family and marriage therapist. You can find him, Jim, at mindbodytherapyservices.com. Actually, it's lgbtcounseling.com.
It's either
a preferred site, LGBT Counseling.
Yeah, so Marilyn, I also wanted to say, you were asking about what kind of so-called treatments happen. I've heard that there can be these so-called group treatments or group practices where they'll put the patient in the center of a group of other patients, and they'll throw basketballs at him and call him fag and other derogatory terms.
Gee, that's therapeutic.
Yeah, they're just off the wall kinds of things that end up, as we said before, making people feel depressed, hopeless, suicidal.
No self-esteem.
Yeah, exactly.
And also, I see from some research, Joe, that you gave me, that unsafe sex, that they become reckless.
Yeah.
They start acting out.
Yeah.
When you really don't like who you are, and you have a bunch of people telling you that you're wrong, you're not going to heaven if you're part of an evangelical tradition, or, you know, it affects your self-esteem. You start acting out. And one of the things I actually have a personal example of this. You know, this is not just an issue that afflicts kids. More adults are actually in conversion therapy than kids are, from what we can tell. And I have an example of this. When I was coming out as a young man in the early 80s, one of my best friends in the gay pride group at the university I was at decided that he wanted to do this. He wanted to go through conversion therapy. He came from a very religious family.
He didn't want to be gay. Does anybody?
Guess what? He spent 10 years trying to be not gay, to de-gay himself. And I ran into him like 10, 12 years later. He had spent like over $100,000 doing various things. He had screwed up his life, and he felt like he lost a decade of living. And he was someone who had gone through a lot of emotional distress. And in fact, while he was at these conversion therapy therapists, they were actually hitting on him in some cases. You know, some of these peer groups actually, where they were, there was pressure to keep you straight, actually became a dating group for him. And he saw that the fact that some of the leaders were people who were actually having same-sex relationships.
I worked with a man who is a father, and he underwent conversion therapy here in San Francisco not that long ago. And it didn't end up in him becoming straight at all. He ended up divorcing his wife amicably. And before he underwent conversion therapy, his 17-year-old daughter came to him and her mother and told them that she was a lesbian. And he couldn't accept that, and it just created so much pain between him and his daughter. And he went on to get the therapy and found out that it worked. And eventually there was a reconciliation between him and his daughter.
So we're in a time post-SCOTUS ruling in June. We have marriage equality in all 50 states, though that's going to still be a battle of consciousness. And as we saw the backlash happen right after that, and people quitting their jobs and being fired and threatened to be fired if they didn't sign the marriage licenses and blah, blah, blah.
And I haven't heard of any Republican candidates for the president who support marriage equality.
Well, and so what are we not doing? What can be done culturally to educate people that it's not a choice? I mean, I think for me, you have to start there.
Yeah.
Because I think that's where the delusion begins. And I think it's fear and ignorance. And I think nobody really wants to be gay. I think you're gay or you're bi or trans or whatever you are, because that's what you feel is your authentic self. That's authentic to you. That's what your life experience and desire and what moves you.
I agree that people have an authentic sexual orientation or gender identity. And remember, we're also working against coercive gender identity therapy. So we're working against parents who don't like that their
child seems transsexual.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Isn't conforming to the traditional. So what we're working for is what I'm working for as a mental health practitioner is for organizations to clearly come out and say that those kinds of practices are unethical and harmful. And again, to go back to Leila Alcorn's suicide last December, right after that, I found out that in the United Kingdom, the 14 major medical and psychological. I'm not going to get too wonky on you here, Marilyn, I promise. But you understand, for the changes to happen, right, they have to happen in the systems, the different institutions, as well as in the families, and as well as in people's awareness. There have to be changes at a national and an international level. And what I found out about last year was that in the United Kingdom, the 14 major mental health organizations and medical organizations all got together and declared that conversion therapy is unethical. Well, when I saw that, I thought, we've got to do that here in the United States. And so a group of us are working on that to have a joint national statement saying that it's unethical. And then we can take that internationally, too. You know, you can end up in prison for 14 years if you're found to have unnatural acts with a person of the same gender in Kenya. And, you know, there's lots of discrimination.
There's lots of work to be done.
There's
SCOTUS
a lot
ruling
of
there
aside.
There is. And that's why we are so fortunate to have a president right now who's speaking out about this. He spoke out about this issue in, you know, the spring of
in
this
the
year.
Spring, yes.
I mean, I was driving my car down the road. All of a sudden, I get a text message from the New York Times that President Obama has come out against this type of therapy.
And for minors.
For minors. And one thing to just keep in mind, and Jim can speak to this better than I can, this is not therapy. This is called psychoquackery.
Right.
And it's a misnomer to even give it the dignity of therapy.
Right, right. And, yeah, it's amazing all the kinds of things that President Obama and the White House have done. So they've done so much to destigmatize being LGBT, and I'm not going to get too political here, but, you know, Hillary Clinton has done a lot. She's spoken for LGBT rights in the UN, and I think we got to join them and really fight to protect people from this kind of quackery.
You're listening to Out in the Bay. I'm Marilyn Pittman. My guests are Joe Rodriguez and Jim Walker. They're both community organizers and activists. And Joe is a Silicon Valley business strategist, and Jim is a family and marriage therapist. I'd like to frame it in terms of the history of gay rights and the struggles we've gone through. We see the last 10, 15 years being about marriage equality. During the AIDS and the ACT UP era in the early 90s, it was about getting health care. And now we're going to fight about trying to get equal housing and job protection across the country. This seems so 1980s. It's like if you look at the trajectory of where we are in this issue of trying to stop this ridiculous conversion therapy, we're kind of back in like the 80s.
Yeah.
Compared to the other progress we've made in consciousness around gay people and LGBT people.
Yeah,
and it seems like we're just barely beginning on this other thing that nobody's been talking about, except you are, and here we are.
Well, you know, I think we've gone from a period of sort of acceptance or tolerance to more acceptance. The strategy, the gay movement strategy of people coming out and telling their stories has been radically powerful and effective. And we've been doing that more and more. That's why most people under 35 have no problem with LGBT people. And, you know, one of the things that we've really gone back to, and when we were trying to pass this law in California, we went back to one of the original mottos of the gay liberation movement from the 70s, and that is, gay is good. And we are just as part of nature as anyone else. And we're not going to apologize for who we are. Mm-hmm. And that message, you know, is served up in different ways. In the marriage equality movement, we called it, we have the same love and commitment in our relationships as straight people.
And that worked.
It sure did.
It worked. In fact, right after the SCOTUS ruling, I was on vacation. And I was with my partner, and we were having a cocktail at a hotel bar. And, okay, it was at Disneyland there. I've said it. It was my birthday. What? I'd never been. And these heterosexual people, maybe in their mid-40s, a white couple, he graciously offered to give my partner his seat at the bar. And so, oh, that's okay. No. And then they used that as this opportunity. to try to get close to us. I mean, if it had gone any further, we could have been swingers with them the way they were acting. And they were telling us, first I said something about, I said my wife, about her. Oh, and then the woman goes, oh, you know, she's so relieved that I'd said, you know, I thought they were, you know, and she said, they were, oh, I thought they were, you know. And it was just this ridiculous kind of like, we were like in a zoo and they were like wanting to pet us. It was strange. And this is just after SCOTUS, and it was just the most bizarre thing where, well, you know, we're Christians, but we don't have a prejudice, and we don't, and, you know, but they obviously don't know any gay people. And so they were using this as an opportunity to try to, you know, to learn.
Oh, yeah.
So it was kind of sweet in some way, and it was kind of odd. I remember putting on Facebook, did I take the LSD? I mean, it was just, after, you know, all these years, it was just kind of like they wanted to be part of our club. So there's this kind of thing going on, and yet I feel like we're behind. You know, we're just beginning to ramp up. I know you don't feel like you're beginning. It's been going on now for 5 years, the work you're doing to try to stop conversion therapy. But it feels like, I mean, Jerry Falwell and Jesse Helms are dead. It feels like, why is this still going on? There's still this hatred of gay people by the fundamentalist Christian people in this country. Not all of them, but the extremists.
Yeah, I think Caitlyn Jenner really captured this well. And, you know, if you saw her speech at the ESPY Awards, she talked about being different and the sphere of being different. And it's something just deep in the human psyche about being different. And we're getting to the point, though, I think, where even transgender people are being understood by society because people are actually telling their stories and sharing it. And
well, the Caitlyn Jenner thing is powerful.
Oh, it's really great.
And also,
it's upsetting to a lot of people, too.
There was a commercial that showed at that same time. And in that commercial, you saw a personal trainer talking about how she was giving coaching to trans people who are needing the coaching to really realize and take get the most out of them transitioning into the bodies that they feel that they really want to have. There's just a tremendous amount of change that needs to happen. And yeah, because the Supreme Court gave us the decision that they did for marriage equality, it doesn't happen overnight, you know?
Just because you have the Civil Rights Act of the 60s doesn't mean people aren't racist.
Well, and the other thing, too, is you even have gay people learning about what it means to be transgender. I have a client who's...
That is true.
I have a client down in Silicon Valley. She and her partner are open lesbian couple, and they adopted a girl from China, and that girl is turning out to be transgender, and for them it's still a learning curve on what to do, how to best support their daughter, and it's really interesting to see.
It has been an interesting thing that's happened in the last 10 years for the gay community, gay and lesbian people, to have to they haven't understood it.
No.
And in some ways, it's not similar.
No, it isn't similar.
Because then people become the gender they feel that they are, and then they end up having to come out as gay, or they end up being able to get married before it was legal.
Yeah, and, you know,
it's a very confusing thing.
It is, and the L and G are still learning out the B and the T, you know,
and the Q and the I.
Yeah, exactly.
And for those of you that don't know what we're talking about, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender,
intersex
and questioning. Is another one, and queer,
right?
And I mean, it's just
and asexual.
It's like, pretty much it's going to be like a majority. Like anybody who feels different, come on over. It'll just be a few guys playing golf in Arizona together.
But you know, like actually doing something. We just started anything. I mean, we started this movement in 2012. We didn't think Jerry Brown would sign this bill. We got it passed. Jim and a few other people actually wrote the bill. Got it passed. Now, 3 years later, the President of the United States is talking about. And just to give you one example, if you typed in conversion therapy in 2012, you would have gotten about 5,000 search results on Google. Today, when I did it this morning, 5 million. Because we passed a law in California. California led the nation and the world again. And it's got people talking about that. So that's one of the things we have to do in all these LGBT areas is keep talking, bring it to light. Even gay people are learning about conversion therapy.
Jim, I have a question for you as a therapist. You mentioned so, but earlier that you had worked with a client who had gone through conversion therapy.
Right.
What was the toll on this person that this conversion therapy took? How would you describe the dangers of conversion therapy?
Yeah. He was coming to me for couples therapy, actually. So that was the focus of the work that we were doing. He had fallen in love with another man, and they were working on their relationship. But in terms of the toll, clearly the biggest toll was on the break, the alienation, the pain that happened between him and his daughter when she came to her parents and she wanted his support and he didn't give her support for coming out, you know. Uh-huh. But eventually he came around and gave her that love and support. Yeah. That acceptance is so important, not only for kids. We've been talking a lot about kids, but it's important for everybody, no matter what their age is, you know. There are a lot of lonely people out there who are 60 years old or in their 50s or 70s, and they're all kinds of different sexual orientations, but, you know.
And they're not known, they can't be out, or they don't feel like they can.
We all need acceptance and love and support, and if you can't feel that you can be your authentic self because of your religion's beliefs, or you can't feel that you can be your real gender identity, it's going to be very painful and hard. And, you know, people who have survived conversion therapy have gone on to have years and years of therapy. And I've heard from many of them that they're still suffering. Not as much, but they're still suffering because of that.
Joe, I want to have one last question for you before we wrap, and that is, why, if it's again, it's banned in California, conversion therapy, why isn't it being enforced? Why isn't it enforced? How do we make a law and then we don't enforce it?
I could actually speak to that, too.
Okay, because, we just have a minute left.
Yeah, there's a licensing board in each state where these therapists can get reported to, and often those licensing boards don't have enough information about this. So some gay therapists are addressing that and educating them about what the issues are about, just like we're doing tonight, educating people.
I'm sure there are a lot of people listening who had no idea this was even going on.
No.
Yeah.
Even if they're LGBT people, they may not even know much about it.
Exactly. And those conversion therapists are actually profiting from the harm they're doing to kids. That's one of the things we're trying to stop.
And they're reassuring the parents who are putting their kids into this. They're reassuring them that their position is right, that there's something sane about this.
Right. And you mentioned Exodus International, which was the big organization behind this. They actually closed their doors. Because some of the founders admitted this is not an effective practice. It's causing a lot of harm. Some of those people actually even apologized to the LGBT community.
Well, that's healing. Those are good steps.
Yeah.
There needs to be more of that for these people who are holding on.
And thank you so much, Marilyn, for having us on tonight to help spread the word about this.
Yeah. Exactly.
Very good.
Yeah.
Be yourself. You know, being different's not a bad thing at all.
Jim Walker is a family therapist. You can find him at LGBTCounseling.com. Joe Rodriguez is a Silicon Valley business strategist and a longtime community activist here in San Francisco. Hey, be sure to see Karen Ripley's one-woman show, Oh No, There's Men on the Land. It is hilarious. It is at the Marsh Theater in downtown Berkeley. It begins August 15th. It runs every Saturday at 5 p.m. It goes all the way through October 3rd. They're doing it at 5 p.m. so the lesbians can go to bed early. Okay, for more, you can go to themarsh.org. Karen would think it's funny. You've been listening to Out of the Bay, a weekly show about gay life from San Francisco. Our show streams and is on the air every Thursday at 7 p.m., and then we archive it at outinthebay.org. Check out our Playing Favorites page there, and be sure to donate to our show so we can keep it going. Thank you very much for that. Eric Jansen and I produced this show. Thanks to the staff and management of KALW. Joanne Marr is our engineer tonight. Thank you, Eric, for all the work you do with me all these many years, 10 years now. I'm Marilyn Pittman. Thanks for joining me. ¶¶